Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby G and I will take you to 7 o'clock tonight, and it'll be the Matt McMahon Show coming on at 7. And Bob, good news yesterday, LSU extending the streak in women's basketball and setting up that showdown with South Carolina Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it'll be a Super Bowl day. It'll be on the road in Columbia. So I'm sure you have a few locals. You know, we always enjoy the Super Bowl pregame shows. But if LSU's hanging in there, I could see that they're watching to see if the LSU Lady Tigers come out on top and then watch the Super Bowl.
In the last poll, Indiana kind of edged LSU for the two spots, so it would be one against three. But they're the two undefeated teams. Indiana has one loss during the season.
Yeah, Stanford lost to Washington. They were number two, so I thought maybe LSU had a chance to move up to number two.
And it was close last week with LSU and Indiana. Bob, a lot of coaching changes with the Saints since the last time we was on. Todd Grantham gets hired as the most likely defensive line coach. And then today is being reported by Jeremy Fowler that Joe Woods, the former defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns, is being brought in as secondary coach, defensive coordinator. Bottom line with this is Dennis Allen's making the calls. Joe Woods' expertise.
It's his defense.
Yeah, it's his defense.
Listen, it's his defense. You can bring in
Joe Woods, Grantham, whoever.
Yeah, different titles. It's still his defense. And, Mike, when you look at it, I mean, a lot of fans might say, well, why are we making all these changes on the defense? You know, you can get a promotion, but it's our offense maybe we need to fix. Because you look at defensively, the Saints finished with NFL's number 22 scoring offense, basically 19.5 points a game, 19th total offense, the team's worst final ranking. Now think about this. We used the great offense because of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. It was the Saints' worst final ranking in scoring and second worst in total offense since the 2005 season.
Bob, that's what I want to see. The setup and who becomes the quarterback. Certainly, there's a lot of talk league-wide that the Saints and Derek Carr may be a marriage here. That there may be, they may consummate the marriage between the two. Because February 15th, he becomes a free agent. The Raiders are not going to pick up that option.
Well, I think if you bring in Derek Carr, we still ain't winning nothing. We might be competitive where all of a sudden you're winning 9 or 10 games. I still think we're going to be somewhat middle of the pack. And the reason why I say this, and I was talking to you about this for the show, that when you look at Derek Carr and Andy Dalton, okay, you might think, well, the one thing, Derek Carr is younger. But he's only 3 years younger. It's not like he's like 7, 8 years younger. If you look at Derek Carr, I don't know. We watched him against the Saints of Las Vegas. They didn't even did the Raiders score a freaking point? I don't think they even scored a point, okay? So enough of that. But you look at Derek Carr, okay, at Las Vegas. In 9 NFL seasons, his career numbers, he's like 64.5% completion rate. And that's in 248 games, 217 touchdowns, 99 interceptions. It's just slightly better than Andy Dalton put up his first 9 years in Cincinnati, where he was a 62% passer, 238 games, more than 217. But you look, 204 touchdowns to 118 interceptions, and he's 35 and Derek Carr is 32. And the thing is going to be when you're looking at the salary cap, okay, doesn't Derek Carr and they look at Daniel Jones with the Giants, don't they want over $30 million? Okay, probably you could pay Andy Dalton a third of that, for sure half of that, and have Andy Dalton be the bridge guy for the future guy instead of, because you bring in Derek Carr, Mike, you paying him over $30 million. He's like your short-term answer right now, and he thinks he's the man. He's not the bridge guy.
Yeah, and it seems to me, Bob, every day there was talk of possibly a trade, and there still could be a deal, but it looks as though both sides can't agree on that, and most likely Derek's going to be a free
agent. The only way you would trade for Derek Carr, let's say you're the Jets or some other team, because we are, the NFL is a quarterback-starved league. There's not enough quarterbacks. They're not enough quarterbacks. The only way you would trade for him and be willing to make Derek Carr that 30-plus million-type quarterback is that you have him. Because if he gets to free agency,
and it's open,
then all
open
of a sudden
ground.
It could be Carolina. It could be the Saints. It could be the Jets. Then you got a number of teams bidding for Derek Carr. But I would not trade. Plus, did the Saints even have the resources to give to the Raiders for Derek Carr?
I don't think the Raiders are going to ask for a lot.
Because they just would want to get at least something, right?
They would want to get something, but they're not going to get a ton.
But if
a deal could be, and that, I think, is the big question. I've talked to a few people in the league. Most feel as though they won't have a deal. But I've had a couple of them tell me, hey, listen, you never say never.
Well, you'd have to have a team to fall in love with Derek Carr, and you're willing to pay him over $30 million a year.
A desperate team.
Desperate.
There are desperate teams out there.
No, because
we've talked about the
quarterback situation.
It is not really good. Bob, it's an unbelievable situation happening in Washington. But Commanders owner Dan Snyder has officially listed his Potomac River Chateau for what would be a D.C. area record, $49 million. A 30,000-square-foot home that he's got up for sale in the D.C. area.
So that's not in Beverly Hills or where Oprah Winfrey and I'll live, right?
This is a 30,000-square-foot, nine-bedroom.
What's that, right out of Santa Barbara, Montecito and all that? This is in Washington, D.C. That's a lot of money for a house.
That's a lot of money if you can get $49
That's something
million.
You could afford, Mike.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But how about we go on a break? We got to talk about this. How about our good buddy, Zach Strieff?
Yeah, we'll talk about it when
he's
we get back.
He's in charge now with the
offensive line.
Yeah, offensive line with Sean and Denver Broncos.
Just a couple years ago, he was sitting right to my left. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike DeTillia along with the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Right before we went to break, Bob and I were talking about it. Old buddy Zach Strieff, who sat to my left for a couple years doing these shows, is now the new offensive line coach for the Denver Broncos. He'll be coaching with Coach Payton. It's an elevation. He was the assistant offensive line coach here with the Saints. But I know it's a job. Zach always wanted to be the line coach, and I think one day wants to be a head coach somewhere.
Well, a big feather in his cap is to show you how much confidence Sean Payton has in him to be able to do that job. I'm telling you, Sean's not hiring Zach Strieff
because he's his buddy.
Yeah, because he likes him. He knows that Zach Strieff knows what he's talking about and likes that he can relate to the younger players and all that, and he'll know what he's doing. I mean, Sean's not just bringing him on board to coach of the Broncos. Oh, he's my buddy. I want to give him a chance. Hell no. He's going to hold Zach Street's feet to the fire, and Zach knows Sean's demanding, and Zach knows he has to produce and get the offensive line up front, whether it's in the run game, pass blocking, and get Russell Wilson over the hump. Because that's the thing, Sean knows this. Russell Wilson has to work out all the money they're paying him.
The other thing, too, is being a former player for as many seasons as Zach, I know you've always talked about working with June Jones. June had been a quarterback, had played at a high level. Man, when you hear that coming from that guy, because he's telling you from experience, because he's played that position, it was different. Nothing against Carl, but Carl didn't play college and pro football.
No, he was the second baseman at Bakersfield Junior College or whatever, Bakersfield in California. But he was an overachiever. Actually, the one thing, Carl, the one thing he would tell me, and it's true, the ball has to come out. And if you talk to Jeff Ireland or you talk to Drew Brees, these young quarterbacks, everyone's
they
in that.
They want to hold it too long.
No, the ball got to come out. It has to come out. You got to help the offense. It's not an individual sport. The ball has to come out, and you have to know where to go with the ball, and you got to be accurate.
The other thing, too, with Zach, he's such a stickler because he had always said, hey, I might not have been the most talented guy, but technique is so huge in the NFL, learning how to play your opponent. And I think that's something the Broncos are going to get with Zach, a guy that's going to teach every technique you could possibly teach, and teaching it from experience. It was just a few years back Zach was playing.
Well, and he could tell a player, too, that, you know, you're not always going to be 100% and you got to play hurt and all that. And he'll tell you he was playing with one arm and then they still expected him to block J.J. Watt and the Texans.
Good luck.
And Zach said, come on, but I'm trying and doing his best. So he's going to, you know, so if he's talking to a Broncos offensive lineman, they might say, well, I got to block that guy. Look, I'm not 100%. Let me tell you the story, what happened with me. And then you can relate. Then you can relate like player to player, even though it's coach to the player at that time.
We'll be back with more sports talk here and second guess. And we'll have Glenn Gilbo, who's the SEC and NFL columnist at Outkick.com, right after this break on the Big 870. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. From Outkick.com, Glenn Gilbo, who covers the SEC and NFL for Outkick.com. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Glenn, I thought about you. You and I were talking, and I hit the Sean Payton press conference, and he basically alluded to the fact that, hey, I probably wasn't the number one choice here. And so you and I were talking about that. It's funny. We'll talk about Payton first and get to the Saints about, man, how many times that really happens in college and in pro football. We brought up about situations at LSU, situations in the NFL, that sometimes you're not somebody's first choice, but you end up being the pick. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
And it ended up, it look at one time, I think the Broncos' real number one choice was Jim Harbaugh, and that didn't work out. They went to Jim a second time after Jim had told them no, and then they kind of swung it to D'Amico Ryans, and D'Amico's deal is, I think I'd rather the Houston job. I don't know why. I don't know why I'd take that job
over
Denver.
The whole thing, and Glenn, I think.
But
about
come
this.
Down to it, yeah. Sean got the job.
Well, I mean, yeah. D'Amico Ryan can't coach Russell Wilson.
No, he's a defensive coach.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm just a homer here, but I think Sean Payton could do a better job with Russell Wilson than Jim Harbaugh. I mean,
Jim did a pretty good job with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson's not a scrambler
anymore. Not what yeah. Colin was. Glenn, but your thoughts on that? That I think it's a good fit. To be honest with you, Payton to Denver, he'll bring some toughness, some culture there, and I think also some focus on details. That last year, if you watch the Broncos, they weren't focused on squat. Nothing. Now, their defense could play, but their offense was terrible.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to believe that Payton would be the third choice, but I'm hearing that more and more. But I tell you what, I think of those three coaches, he's clearly the best coach and best candidate out of Harbaugh and Ryans. You know, Ryans is kind of like a first round draft choice, kind of like Sean was when the Saints hired him. So he, you know, he's a up and comer. I mean, to me, what Payton did so quick in New Orleans after what he inherited was just unbelievable. And then he not only won the Super Bowl, he really sustained the excellence in New Orleans. I mean, he won four straight NFC South titles after his suspension, you know, and after going through 3-7-9. So he built the team really two or three times while he was in New Orleans. And all the while, he had one of the best offenses in the NFL every year. And you know, he was a combination of being real smart but not afraid to gamble, like with the onside kick in the Super Bowl and with Taysom Hill. You know, he's always got a little something different going on. So I think when you add everything up, he's clearly the hottest candidate of those three. And I think he's about the best new hire probably in years in the NFL. I don't think he'll do a great job quickly at Denver, but I think eventually he's going to be really good there.
Now, Glenn, when you look at the Saints and the moves they've made, and a lot of fans are saying, why, you know, and obviously we know Dennis Allen is his baby, the defense, and he's the D coordinator. So you could be called a D coordinator with the Saints, but that's in title only. But a lot of fans are saying, what about the offense? Well, why are we worried about the defense? I'm looking, we finish, second-ranked pass defense, allowing just 184 yards a game. And we didn't allow more than 20 points in the final eight games. So I wish we'd have started that way. I always say this in September. But it seems like where we were offensively that we need to have changes. But what's your take on that, where the Saints are at with that?
Yeah, I don't like where the Saints are going with offense. I mean, I think they need a new offensive coordinator. Pete Carmichael has been solid, but, you know, his whole MO is with Peyton, and I'm sure he could have left if he wanted to a couple of times, but it's not like he's ever been a hot commodity as an offensive coordinator when people are making the hires. So I think the Saints should have made a change there probably last year. And, you know, quarterback's an issue too. Those two are kind of at the hip. I think the defense is fine. I mean, I don't know about hiring a coach fired from the Browns as they did Joe Woods. Now, you know, Ryan Nielsen, they should have done something to keep him. To me, that's your defensive coordinator. They should have made him defensive coordinator last year. Of course, Ryan probably wants to get away from Dennis Allen because he's the defensive coordinator. He's doing a good job.
To be his own guy.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that. But, you know, still you could have made a better hire. I like the Todd Grantham hire now, the new defensive line coach for the Saints. He actually turned down the defensive coordinator job at Alabama before Nick hired Kevin Steele last night. Grantham is a great coach, and he's got a lot of NFL experience before his college experience as a D-line coach, and he was the DC with the Browns 2005-2007. So I think the defense, you know, will be good again. I'm just worried about where the offense is going.
Glenn, one of the things, you and I both watched Todd Grantham be the defensive coordinator, and at different places, man, he reminds me of Greg Williams. A lot of times he takes a lot of chances blitzing. Now, again, he's not making those calls. Dennis Allen will. But if you look at his defenses in college, man, a lot of them would take a lot of chances, send in extra people. He's all about putting heat on the quarterback. It depends on who the quarterback is. Bobby always says it, man, if you got an experienced quarterback, he wants you to blitz.
Oh, yes. Because you can attack a blitz.
And that's come and go in college football. But Todd Grantham was always about pedal to the metal. I'm coming after you, and you better make that throw because I'm hitting you at quarterback.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always great to have good minds on your staff, regardless of what position they might be in. I just hope Dennis gets along with Todd better than Sean got along with Greg Williams, right?
Well, it couldn't be no worse.
But, I mean, he was a great defensive coordinator. No, there's no question about it, Greg Williams. And I think Grantham will really help the Saints as well. And, you know, I think they got as good a defense as anybody. They were fifth in the NFL this year. They just need some help on the other side.
Glenn, what is your take? Because I was talking about this at the beginning of the show, that and money's always involved when you're dealing with the salary cap. And but Saints fans, they're not too high on maybe if the Saints would go in that direction with Derek Carr versus Andy Dalton. You know, Derek Carr is going to be 32 years of age. Andy Dalton's 35. But if you look at their first nine seasons, it's like identical. Whether you're talking about completion percentage, yards per game, touchdowns, interceptions, it's like the same guy, But Derek Carr is looking to get paid over $30 million, where I think probably with Andy Dalton, for sure you can get half of that probably with him. What take going forward with the quarterback position? Now, I think you want to draft a young guy, get him in here, and I still think Andy Dalton would be that bridge guy that maybe you're not winning anything, but you look at towards the future, because this is not an opinion. This is what happened this year. Do you know for the majority of the season, Andy Dalton was top 10 out of the 32 starting quarterbacks? Now he finished number 11. So he was like number 7 to number 11. Now, you can't throw and catch the ball. When you look at drop passes, there wasn't much difference between 7 and 10 and 10 and 7. I'm just telling you right now, end season, maybe we didn't make the postseason or only had 7 wins. And I think Mickey Loomis knows that.
And the other thing, too, is if you don't run the ball any better than you did this year, man, you're in a heap of trouble again in 2023. You can't be a pedestrian running team.
Is there any way the Saints can get Aaron Rodgers?
Now, Bobby's all for that.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a different conversation.
I think it would be perfect for Aaron. Warm weather, inside, new place to be. You know, I think that's what I would like to see. I think you're right, though. I think Andy Dalton is a really good bridge guy who can do the job. He was pretty good this past year. They just seemed like a messed up team. I mean, when they played good defense, they didn't play good offense. Andy had good stats, but he kind of didn't make the big plays when you needed them.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
the receivers have something. But Glenn, when you say the receivers have something to do with that, everybody wants to stroke Chris Olave, this great rookie. He can't hold Marcus Colston or Michael Thomas's jock. He was good to very good. Also, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. Well, hell yeah, you should be.
Games?
You play 17 games, you should be a 1,000-yard receiver. I look at contested catches. I don't see that big receiver, strong receiver right now on that Saints roster.
What they should have to get. I think you got to rebuild your line, but I think you got to go out and get a big, thickly built receiver. Contested,
like the Eagles
move
did.
The chains.
Look, A.J.
They
Brown.
They went get A.J. Brown.
Yes, like that kind of guy.
They got so many things they need on offense, you know, and the tough thing is I always thought Breeze made bad receivers look average and average receivers look good and good receivers look great. You know, he made names out of receivers who didn't do nothing before him and not much after, kind of like Jimmy Graham, really.
How about this?
Made a lot of millionaires
throughout
his career.
Glenn, I want your opinion.
And Sean's part of that, too.
No,
sure.
He made Sean a multimillionaire.
And Glenn, I want your opinion on this because, who gets the most credit? Is it like Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Or is it Sean Payton and Drew Brees? And they say, hey, Barry, just because you're a quarterback. I'm telling you, Tom Brady helped build Bill Belichick, the mystique where he's at right now. Look, post-Tom Brady, and then it'd be interesting to see, but he's going to have Russell Wilson. I think Drew Brees made Sean Payton more than Sean Payton made Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's a tough argument. A lot of the guys at OutKick think, that I talked to, they think Sean Payton's overrated. You know, and they said he had Drew Brees, and some of that's true. And Sean did go 7-9 three straight years, but Drew Brees was not really doing great when he was at the Chargers before he came to the Saints. You know, so you could say Peyton kind of really helped him. And if you remember, teams weren't going crazy to try to get Brees when the Saints got him. Remember, Saban didn't want him. That was a mistake of his career, but. I think it was kind of, maybe 60-40 or something. I think Drew definitely helped Sean, but I think Sean helped Drew's career a lot too.
Glenn, your thoughts on Kevin Steele? I know you've known him for a long time. He has bounced around the SEC, and your thoughts on, because seemingly people sometimes get upset about, why they want to hire a coach they know. Okay, that's the business. Okay, you hire people that you're familiar with. Steele's been on Saban's staff, what, three different times?
Yeah, three times.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, this is his third time.
So your thoughts on Kevin Steele, because I think he's just keeping the seat warm, you know, because there's another guy that the SEC don't want to deal with, the former Tennessee head coach, that I think eventually will get that spot.
Yeah, yeah. Nick could hire Jeremy Pruitt as an analyst this year and skirt the NCAA infractions that, you know, Pruitt will bring to whatever job he gets, possibly, and then move Pruitt in after the statute of limitations, possibly. Yeah, I was talking to your son, Bobby, about Kevin Steele at the Senior Bowl. Kevin Steele's one of those guys who he had enough of Saban after 1 year back in 2007, and he switched from coordinator to linebacker coach when Saban promoted Kirby Smart. And then he was gone. Like a lot of coaches, they can only take working for Saban for a year or two, but they keep coming back. And this is the second time
as well
that Steele has come back, because you know you're going to make money, you know you're going to be on a great team and have a chance to win it all. But yeah, he used to joke with me about Saban when Steele was at LSU briefly under Les Miles. But, you know, he's tough to work for, but they keep coming back to him. And Steele knows what Saban wants. And hopefully, and I'm sure Steele's thinking that Nick is a little mellower now than he was in 2007.
Well, I'm not real sure about that.
Hey, so, Glenn, if you look in your crystal ball, and now we're going into a new decade, you know, you look at the 21st century, obviously, what Saban has done in Alabama. And then they still have the number one recruiting class.
That's unreal.
Where do you put
without a coordinator?
No, but what I'm asking you is that, do you think Georgia has overtaken Alabama or not yet? So what's your take on that?
Well, I would say they have overtaken them because they've won it two back to back, whereas Clemson, you know, they didn't win it back-to-back. But Clemson was kind of where Georgia is now. But I think Georgia looks a little stronger than Clemson did. So yeah, I mean, Nick is behind, you know, and that's not a position he's used to. But he's still recruiting really well. And, you know, it's going to be interesting because both Alabama and Georgia will be throwing new quarterbacks out there. And Georgia might be throwing a new offensive coordinator out there too if Todd Monken leaves, who really turned around Georgia.
Because that was going to be my next question to you.
Yeah,
because really, Kirby sort of handed the offense over to Monken, and he's done a fabulous job with that. And
great,
man,
job.
He's getting a lot of looks at the NFL, and that's going to be hard to turn down.
Like to see him coaching the Saints. I'll tell you what. Todd Monken, I'd like to see him as the Saints coordinator, but I don't know if that's going to happen. The Saints are just
experience
kind of playing
the Jaguars. Right, yeah. And now, Glenn, what about, you look at the SEC, and we always put a lot of emphasis on the quarterback, who's coming back. Boy, I like where LSU's at with Jane Daniels. How can you not?
In comparison to what Alabama and Georgia got?
Right.
Well, when you bring it back Jaden Daniels and, you know, the recruiting that Brian Kelly's put together, you know, LSU might be picked to win the West or second in the West at SEC Media Days this year. I mean, I think they're going to be a favorite. But, hey, right now they're not the best team in the state, right? Tulane finished ranked higher than them and has a better win than any of LSU's wins that went over USC. So they got to be the best team in the state first, right?
You got to win the state championship. Yeah, that's like Texas Longhorns.
Bobby's going to hit the Longhorns with that one.
Yeah, yeah, come on. You got to beat the likes of TCU and Texas Tech and all before you're state champs.
Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, man. We really appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Glenn.
Okay, y'all take it easy. Thanks.
All righty. Glenn Gilbo from Outkick.com talking about certainly the NFL, SEC. And there is no, say, off season anymore. Everything's happening. Coaching changes, player changes, recruiting, transfer portals, you name it. We'll be back here on Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. We're finishing up here on hour number one of the Second Guess show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob will talk a lot more Pelicans in the 5 o'clock
back
hour.
Back to back wins.
We'll have Joe Myers back to back wins. But yesterday, man, the beatdown of Sacramento, 136-104. Man, Trey Murphy was awesome in that game with the 3-pointers.
He needs to shoot more.
Man.
I mean, I'm like, he shot 9 of 11 from the field, 6 of 8 from 3-point territory. I'm like, well, if you can make 6 of 8 from 3-point territory, you should always have double-digit shots, right? Attempts? Because consider you're amongst the best if you're a 3-point shooter and you can hit, let's say, 38%. You don't have nowhere near 50%. And you, let's say you shoot 38, 42%. They're going to tell you, keep shooting. Shoot, shoot, shoot. So if you make it 4 out of 10, shoot, keep shooting. No, Trey Murphy, he should have double-digit attempts as far as shooting the ball.
Man, I know Sacramento didn't have Fox, but, okay, the Pelicans didn't have Ingram.
Well, we didn't.
But man, Bob, they didn't even look like they were even close in this game at any time other than to start the game.
Well, we didn't have three players, so you cannot say who's playing or who's not playing. Valanciunas didn't play. Zion didn't play.
Ingram didn't play.
B.I., I don't know. Now, I don't know, his lingering soreness in his left toe. I mean, that's something that's probably going to linger the whole season. So I can understand that playing back-to-backs, but you need him available. Friends, I'd be extremely disappointed if tomorrow night he does not play against the Hawks. B.I. got to play. Okay, we didn't play in a back-to-back game. You got to play against the Hawks. I mean, wouldn't you expect that? I mean, the All-Star break, and that's going to come about. I'm just glad we all have the schneid, so to speak, and then have consecutive losses. Well, we had 10, so that ended. But look, we won the consecutive games for the first time since late December. I mean, I was like, I wanted to be excited about the Pelicans. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, damn, that's before New Year's, and we end of February. You can't keep losing. So to win back-to-back games, though, I'm optimistic again about the Pels.
Yeah, and again, who they beat yesterday. And it was a real bad beatdown of the Kings. The one thing you watch the Lakers, man, the Lakers really wanted to win that game. You could tell. Anthony Davis, LeBron, they were into it. They wanted to win that game. And certainly that would start the two-game winning streak. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870.